Hello, welcome. If this is your first time on this website, I just want to say welcome. I'm glad that you are here on these sermons. Normally, I'll go in like an intro about this website. If you're new to this, you know the drill. You might come fast forward 5-10 minutes before we get into the message, but always got to take into account that there might be somebody that may come across this sermon that this is their first time listening to a sermon on this website. I want to say welcome to this website, Crucified for Christ Ministries. Really was drawn out by the Holy Spirit to do this website, to reach out to whoever that may be through whatever social media, the great internet, world wide web, that if one person comes across this website and there's the Holy Spirit moves in them and they're saved from what God does through me, through this website, it's all worth it. One soul, right? That's all that matters. If that's the one person God wants me to reach through this website, praise His holy name. If I pray there's more that will be influenced, but one soul, right? One soul. So the purpose of this website was to reach out to those with a message of salvation. It's also a website that is designed for those that truly want to commit their life to Jesus Christ by crucifying their flesh and following Him on a daily basis. And if those terms, if you're new to this, them terms might kind of throw you off a little bit, but you can go on, stroll down, and you can find some salvation messages. I have several messages where I preach on crucifying the flesh and being very specific on what that means. And but if you're new, several ways you can reach out to me. Of course, this website, there's an email. You can email me. If you do, just make sure you put Crucified for Christ Ministry on the subject heading. So if it goes in the spam or junk mail, I only check my spam and junk mail once a week. Actually once a month I'll check it. So when I'm strolling through, I won't miss your email. The other thing is you can also reach out to me through Facebook. If you're not part of my Facebook friends, you can actually PM me, private message me. Also, Twitter or Instagram, I'm on there a little bit, but you still can reach out to me through those means. And of course, those that I know that's been following this ministry for a while, you have my private phone number, so you can text me, message me that way. We're going through Psalms. So this whole series that I'm preaching and teaching, and it's been laid on my heart by the Holy Spirit to go into these Psalms, a lot of Psalms, it's 150. Today we'll be in Psalm 11, meaning that we've went through 10 so far. You're hearing this message on this one, but there's also another tab that you can click on, which is learning the Psalms. And what I'm doing is I'm logging in these Psalms as we go here and on that one too. So if we take a break in between, which we probably will, because that's 150 Psalms, it's a lot of messages, and I'm working on them as I go. And sometimes there may be a delay, or the Holy Spirit might want me to switch gears and preach on something for a few weeks. And when we pick it back up, I want you guys to be able to have a quick reference where you can go and look, okay, there's Psalm 1, there's Psalm 2, there's Psalm 3, there's Psalm 4. And you can re-listen to them if you need to get caught up on that next Psalm that we're going through. So we'll be in Psalm 11. And this message and the title of this message today is A Bird to the Mountain. A Bird to the Mountain. And we're in Psalm 11. We're going to read through this psalm, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into this message. Psalm 11. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrows upon the string, that may privately shoot at the upright in heart? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord try the righteous, but the wicked and him that love violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord love righteousness. His countenance do behold the upright. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this message, Lord, guide and direct as you see fit. Give me the words to say, because you know who will hear this. Lord, I pray over those that are listening. God, I pray over their life. I don't know what they're going through, but we lift them up in the holy and mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray over any mental issues they may be having, depression, anxiety, suicide. God, we lift that up. Those thoughts, that condition up to you. Oh, how we know our world is spinning out of control, and there are many people hurting. There are many people that are desperate. Their depression is at a all number high in America, and anxiety and suicide rates. God, Lord, there's a real condition that's going on that has a spiritual connection, Lord, because people may not know who Jesus Christ is and that he can break that hole up on that hole of depression and that hole of anxiety on their life. God, Lord, we lift them up. God, all right, if they're just are just give them strength to endure, to fight each day, to keep pressing on, knowing that one day all these things in this life, all the pain that we're experiencing, if it's mental, maybe it's physical, is only temporary compared to what's waiting for us that truly love our Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray over this message once again, God. I pray, Lord, that you move as you see fit and that you guide me, direct me on what to say. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Remember the title, The Bird, A Bird to the Mountain. That's our title of this sermon. And here, when we look at Psalm 11, here's David. He is seeking the Lord in a time that was challenging for him. What challenge or what situation or what storm that he was going through, we don't really know. But I want to tell you a truth that we have seen over and over, if you've been following these Psalms in this series, over and over, that God has not abandoned his children. Our God has not abandoned me, you, or us, his children. At times in this life, we may feel this way. And of course, the drive of this sermon is to press that truth onto your mind and your heart. And I pray that it lodges in your heart that we serve a God who knows what he is doing and that he cares. David opens this psalm with a statement that should lay hold upon our hearts. And that statement is this: in the Lord put I my trust. David writes this, and he sings it from his heart. And he says, in the Lord put I my trust. I don't know if you've really pondered that word trust in the contents of God's holy word and how it plays a critical role throughout Scripture. When I look at trust in the Bible, and I've done my own studying, I encourage you to do your own study, but then I also look at commentaries and I ponder certain words and I pray over it and I seek God's direction. And I pray that you do the same thing. When I come across this word trust, or to trust, that is to believe that God got this. God's got this. And he will guide you and he will direct you in that situation, that challenge, that storm that you may be going through. We see that trust and faith, they go together. We trust in the one that holds our tomorrow. And because we trust in Him that holds our tomorrow. We lay hold of the faith that gives us, that God gives us to press on, keep pressing on. We will experience a level of pain and suffering in this life, and this pain and suffering can challenge us. And if we're not careful, we can start doubting God within that challenging situation or storm that we may be going through. And I love the imagery of that David uses here in the first part of this psalm, verse 1. He says, "How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" Listen carefully, my friend. Listen to these words. He said, "How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" Oh, what thoughts to ponder. David's seeking God to help him lay this foundation of trust, this foundation of faith in the Lord as he navigates through this challenge that he's going through, this situation that is challenging him, right? A storm that he is facing. David is struggling. He is in deep waters. And he's the one that will hold him together through it all, to give him strength to endure that challenge. Flee as a bird to your mountain. Look at that word bird, that imagery of a bird. Now, that bird here is singular, but within the Bible, you also have the plural form of birds, and it can have several meanings. We could go into a deep Bible study just on that topic, talking about bird or birds. There's verses in scripture that looks at specific names of birds. Maybe you can think of a few right off hand right now. An eagle, eagles, right? Sparrows, doves, hens, and the list goes on and on. And believe it or not, each of these birds by name, they have a symbolic meaning. I mean, we could almost go into almost a few months on studying birds in the Bible and the symbolic meaning of them. For example, and I just want to give you a few examples. I'm not really going to go too deep, but an eagle, right? Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." When you hear this verse, what comes to mind about eagle? I think of strength, right? Endurance. Strength and protection. Those that wait, meaning we that wait on the Lord, what will happen? We wait, and what He does, He renews our strength, and they shall mount up like wings as eagles. This is telling when we're waiting on God, when we're trusting in Him, we are, our strength in Him by the Holy Spirit, we are renewed, and we will mount as wings. I could thinking of an eagle wings just spread wide open, flying through the sky. We shall run. I love that word, that they shall run. You can take that and you can think of that first, flee to the mountain, right? And not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because they're not doing it in their own strength. They are relying. They are trusting. They are birds like that. If you watch them, I love watching the Nature Channel. I love watching animals like birds. And last night, before I was going to bed, I was watching a documentary on otters, and how I just love animals. They're just really appealing to me. I should have probably been a veterinarian. That'd probably been a very good occupation for me, because I love animals. And too late now. I'm way too old to try to pursue that. But it's beautiful. Just thinking of an eagle, the wings spread, and here we have bald eagles, right? And but there's a level of strength, right, and protection. Another example you can think of, sparrows. Luke 12:6-7 says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two things, and not one of them is forgotten? Not one of them is not forgotten before God. But even the very hairs on their head, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." That is beautiful, my friend. When I look at sparrows, I think of God's care and His provision for creation. When I look at sparrows, I think the importance of humanity. And I do like even seemingly an insignificant creature like a sparrow. They are known and loved by God. And the last verse I want to talk about with this is Matthew 6:25-27. That's Matthew 6:25. Says, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what shall ye drink, nor yet for your body. And what if shall put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls," that is birds. Reading from the KJV, other versions would say the birds of the air, "for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" Man, I love how you see through Bible there's questions, and we ask questions. I ask questions. Why? Because we want you to think. I ask myself questions when I'm studying God's Word, so I can think about things. But in that last verse, 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature?" And let's read a little bit more. I want to read a little bit more here. And he said, "Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arranged like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow's is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For all after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of these things." But I love how verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day it is the evil thereof." And I just, of course, I'm talking about birds here. And I just want to read a little bit more of that. And it's really centering on this trust, right? We can put everything else before God, and this becomes a problematic issue. Why? Because we're starting to trust in ourselves, right? Now, yes, we have to go to work and we have to make money and we have to, you know, but when, just listen to this, if it wasn't for God, we would not have the strength to get up out of bed. We take that for granted, right? When we get out of bed, we thinking we're doing it in our own strength. I'm gonna tell you, most mornings I struggle to get out of bed. But I pray to the Lord to give me strength, because I know that He has someone for me to speak to that day. And a lot of times there is somebody I speak physically to about Jesus every day almost. One way or the other. I'm not talking about social media. I I believe in using every resources we have to reach out to those to the gospel. But I'm talking about physically talking to somebody. Today I probably talked about 3 or 4 people. Maybe 3. I don't know. I lose count sometimes. But our days, when we are prioritizing our days with Jesus in the mindset, He's priority. All these other things will lay themselves out, I promise you. And that's really the heart of Matthew here. What he's talking about is we first put our trust in the Lord that He has us. He has, look at the birds in the air. Look at the lilies of the valley. Look at the grass of the field. Look at Solomon. And these all comparisons, and these are all imagery that God's Word is trying to open our minds to understand that it's very important to put trust in the Lord, to have faith in the Lord, to keep pressing on throughout life when things are being challenging to you, to keep pressing on. And one of these is to, in this imagery of Psalm 11, about birds. A bird, right? When David uses imagery about a bird, what is he doing? Well, you look to the other part of that verse. It says, flee as a bird to your mountain. Your mountain, this bird going to his mountain. This is making a connection, right? David clearly here can be identified as that bird that is fleeing to a mountain. A mountain is, when you look at it, is protection. And who is the ultimate protection in our life as believers, as disciples, as children of God? My friend, that mountain is our Lord Jesus Christ. This mountain represents a refuge. God is our refuge. He is our safe place. This is a place we can hide. I want to tell you, when this old world is kicking you in the face, the best place to hide is in the presence of God Almighty. This does not mean God will take away that situation, that challenge, that storm that you are going through, but it does mean that God will give you peace. Just think about the helpless bird here. David, he's crying out to God for help in him developing this trust that he needs to endure, this faith to him to endure what he's going through. And God's telling him, flee to me, son. And today he may be saying to you, flee to me, daughter, in my mountain, and rest here in my mountain. Be in my presence, and I will take care of you. Mark 6, 36 through 41 says this, and they sent away the multitude, and they took him at even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there rose a great storm. If you're taking notes or you're in your Bible, just take note of this great storm. Here's a great storm. It's a great storm of wind, and it's the waves are beating. So great waves are coming in. This is a great storm. It's beating into the boat so that it was now full, meaning the boat was taking in a water, and he speaking of Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, of this boat, and he was asleep on a pillow. And they, the disciples here, woke him and said unto the Master, careth thou not that we perish? And he rose, he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was here, listen here, was a great calm. Here's a great storm, and now it's a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith? And they fear exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Here is Jesus Christ, he's in a boat. He's with his disciples. They've already seen several miracles, right? But now they're encountering a great storm. And what do? They let the spirit of fear grip their hearts. And they look around and they tried everything in their own power. And there is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is resting. And they start questioning, why is he sleeping? Don't he even care for us? I want to tell you, Satan was right there with him in that boat, because where the spirit of fear is, guess what? Satan is pulling the strings. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says what? For God has not given us what? A spirit of fear. Our God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? God wants us to have power, love, and sound mind. So if God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, who gives this to us? Satan. And a lot of times we openly accept this spirit in our life. And that's sad. Satan, of course, uses his demons to carry out his directives of creating this fear in our life. Satan is, but he's spearheading it, all of it. A lot of times we say Satan, but we're referring to his demonic host that he's using. He only has as much power that we allow him to have in our life. Oh, my friend, can we ever get this? Oh, we are children of the Most High. We give Satan too much leeway in our life with the sin that we allow to creep into our life and to create this distance that we should be abiding in our God Almighty. See, we're abiding, we're drawing close, we're getting in his presence. When we're fleeing from sin, God gives us power. He gives us love. He gives us a sound mind. When we look at the disciples in this boat, were they exercising power, love, and sound mind? No. They have taken Satan's bait, right? As an ex-fisherman, I don't have time to fish. I'm always busy with work and with the ministry, and one day hopefully I can be able to go out there. I used to love to fish, but the fishers may still say this, but when they catch a fish, they can say, hey, that fish took line, hook, and sinker. Meaning, that fish took the bait all away, completely, and that fisherman was able to catch that fish. Satan throws that bait out, and a lot of times, line, hook, and sinker, we take it. And that's what the disciples are doing here. This is a test, right? This is a trial. This is a storm, right? It is a spiritual storm brewing inside of them from a physical storm they are looking at. They're facing a challenge that that God needs them to understand how to overcome it, how to endure it, how to overcome it to endure. They failed, of course. They wake Jesus up. They accuse him that he's not caring. And we can do that. Like when we're going through challenges in our life, situations or storms in life, we can say, God, don't you care? Why am I going through this? And a lot of times he is trying to grow us. He's trying to develop us into who the disciples that he needed us to be, to go out into that world and reach into the lives of those that are truly going to hell. But they wake Jesus, and what does he do? He rebukes the wind, this storm, right away. What does he say? He said, peace, be still. And what happens? Does the storm take a while to dissipate or to stop? No, immediately that storm stops. God's word tells us there was a great calm. See, there was a great storm. It was challenging the disciples. It was a test. It was a trial that God wanted them to have faith that he was right there in a boat with them and they should have not worried. But that great calm. But when Jesus shows up and we grab onto him and we know the power that he gives us, we will see a great calm with the storms and the challenges that we have. We will understand that we go through things in life to grow, but we know that God will calm that storm down or that challenge eventually. He rebukes disciples, and what does he say? Why are ye so fearful? Why are you so fearful? He said, why are you operating in the spirit of fear? Why are you biting into the bait that Satan has set out for you? This snare, this trap, this temptation. And he continues. He said, how is that you have no faith? In other words, why do you doubt me? Why don't you trust me? Oh, be a bird in that boat and flee to me. Flee to that mountain. Flee to your refuge. Let me get personal right now with you if I haven't already. When life hit you with a challenging situation or a storm in life, something's rattling, what do you do? Do you seek to take that challenging situation or storm on by yourself? I want to tell you, Satan loves this. Because when you do this, you are trusting in yourself. You're having faith in yourself. You have built that foundation on sand, and when the storms come, that foundation will fall. And this is what disciples are doing here in this boat. They are this ship. They have exhausted their resources up until they look at Jesus. And they get upset because he is resting. Jesus is resting because he's not worried about the storm. Like I said before, this was a test for them. A trial for them. And they failed it. In this life, we will have challenging situations and storms. But these can be tests. A lot of times they're tests. They're trials that we must go through. Some are tents, but they are to grow us to be more like him. And I'm telling you, if you're not under a test right now, or you ain't being tried, it will come if you truly are a child of God. But we have to understand as we go through these trials, right? These challenging situations, these storms, God has a purpose for that. And David here, he's being tested. Listen to, we're going to just read the rest of these verses down, and I'll break them down after I read them. Verse 2 says, For lo, the wicked bent their bow. They make ready their arrows upon the string, them that may probably shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in the heaven. His eyes behold the eyelids try the children of men. The Lord try the righteous, but the wicked and him that love violence his soul hate. Upon that wicked he shall rain its snares, fire and brimstone and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord love righteousness, his countenance do behold the upright. David, as this bird, is told to flee to the mountain, a mountain of refuge for him. And this is being in the presence of God, right? As he flees to this mountain, what is going on? Verse 2 said, for lo, the wicked bent their bows. They make ready their arrows up on the string, that they may probably shoot at the upright in heart. David is under attack. direct attack here. He is feeling this attack, and he's saying, they are coming for me. Verse 3 says, he sings this. He said, what if the foundations be destroyed? What can the righteous do? David's pointing here and saying, if the foundation is broken, what can I do? Where is my hope? If this foundation is destroyed, what can I do? And verse 4 says the Lord is, and he said basically that he's answering his own question. So the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord throne is in heaven. His eye behold, his eyelids try the children of men. I love this imagery that David's using here. He's saying David sit above all of this, right? He sees it all. He's aware of what I'm going through. And David's pleading for his eyes to be open to see the way God sees everything. And Lord, how we should pray, how we should pray. Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see the way you see as I'm going through this challenge in my life. See, God will allow attacks on us to grow us. See, my friend, we got too comfortable in this old world. I want to tell you, the church, especially here in America, is way too comfortable. We do not know truly what persecution is. I believe one day that will come to America. And when that truly comes, the true church will emerge. That is the church that I want to be part of. A church on fire for God, where they won't settle for Sunday morning preaching. No, they will want preaching throughout the week and teaching. A hunger. They want to go out and go street witnessing. No matter if it may cost them their life. Because they know this physical life that we walk is only temporary. And what's waiting for us is so much beautiful. But when we put our trust in the Lord, where it needs to be, right? All Jesus Christ. We start understanding in this life we will have challenges. And a lot of times those challenges is to make us feel uncomfortable, because maybe we, as human beings, we want to be comfortable. It's one of our weaknesses, our human nature, is to be comfortable. I want to tell you, if you remain comfortable where you're at and God don't stir things up, you will never grow into that man or that woman that he needs you to be for him. We need to understand all the pain and suffering this life is only temporary compared to eternity. See, when we get this mindset, we become a powerhouse for God, and Satan and his demons cannot do anything with a man or a woman with this mindset. A mindset that wherever I may be going through, I will keep pressing on. I will keep pressing on. For I know where my strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. Understand, the wicked will do what the wicked does. But the wicked will have an ultimate judgment. Verse 5, 6, and 7 says, the Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked. And him that love violence, his soul hate. And upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous of the Lord loves righteousness. His countenance do behold the upright. I want to tell you, this breaks my heart and should break yours. And you need this pulse. Right? If it doesn't break your heart, you need to check your pulse. But the wicked one day, if they do not turn from their wickedness, they will face a judgment of God. And this will be sad. Yes, we, as true Christians, true disciples of Jesus Christ, we are mocked and we are made fun of. But we should take that. We live in the days as Solomon and Gomorrah, right? I think of Luke 17:28-38, right? Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. What were they doing? They were eating, right? They're eating, they drank, they bought, they sold, they plant, they built, right? But the same day that Lot went out of Solomon, it rained what? Fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it shall be the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come take it away. And that he is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. This is a powerful statement, right? Lot was in Sodom. And if you don't remember that historical account, I would encourage you to go back over there in Genesis and read it. But Lot was able to flee out of Sodom with his family. But his wife really didn't want to leave. She really didn't want to flee to the mountain, to the refuge of God. So what did she do? She looked back. And the KJV said a pillar of salt. A lot of people speculate exactly what happened, but she was vaporized. Some believe it was from volcanoes. Some believe it might have been from asteroids. I mean, whatever means that God chose to destroy Sodom, he did. It was fire. It rained fire and brimstone. Whatever means God wanted to make it rain, he made it rain. See, the people of Sodom, they were wicked. Just as David's encountering here. He says, the wicked him that love violence and his soul hates. He said, upon the wicked, right? Psalm 11:6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. If they don't turn from their wicked ways, if they don't turn to a living God, if they don't flee from their wickedness and turn to the mountain, a refuge that is only found in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, in the presence of our God, there is peace without this world cannot understand. There's a peace as we're going through things in this life that we can go through them and have a peace about it. Even though how challenging they may be, when we're in the presence of God, we take it because we know that God will do something with it. God is in it. There's a reason why you're at where you're at. Sometimes we question, God, why am I here? Why have you placed me here? I can tell you, as a child of God, we're in our spots because there is somebody that needs to hear about Jesus. And see, when we start getting beyond ourselves, start thinking like that, and we also need to understand those people that need to hear about Jesus, that they're under the hold of Satan right now, and Satan doesn't want to break loose of them. But I want to tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit can break that chain around that loved one, around that friend, around that person that you encounter, that there's a hold on you through God's word that can break. And I want to tell you, if one soul is broken from the hold of Satan, oh, praise His holy name. When they come from darkness to light, oh, praise Jesus for that, right? Why? Because this world is darkness, it's wicked, and it will be destroyed. 2 Peter 3:10 through 13 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." There's that heat. There's this fire again. "The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing them that all things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God?" I love that. Looking for and hasting, meaning we should be very active, reaching people. Where, and then it continues to, "Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwell righteousness." See, my friend, that is what we're waiting for. That is our home. This world is not a home, period. We're just passing through. And one day our true home will be with Jesus Christ. But until then, we have to keep pressing on. Yes, the wicked will try to, will attack us. They will say all kind of manner of evil against us. They will mock us. But we give them the gospel to our dying breath or to our last breath. We don't give up. But we got to understand, we need to be in that refuge, the presence of God, on a daily basis. Because when we step out of the presence of God, we are going to run into trouble. We're going to start looking at everything and saying, "God, do you really care?" We will be like the disciples. See, Jesus Christ, right there in the boat with Him, right? Right there, they should have been, this great storm, they should have been like, "This storm, we got the Son of God right here. We just see Him do some miracles that can't be explained. He's already taught us a little bit. We don't understand what He's saying fully, but man, there's something about this man." But no, they're trying to trust in themselves. They're trying to take that situation onto themselves. And what happens when we try to attack challenges in our life, storms in our life, we will be beside ourselves. But when we step into the presence of God, if as we flee to the mountain, as a bird, we flee to the mountain and we stay in His presence and we fight those challenges under His authority, under His power, we will have this sound of mind. We will have that power, love, and sound mind. I pray that you are there. You understand what I'm trying to tell you today through this message. Closing this out. A bird to the mountain. Do you flee to the mountain when challenges and situations, storms come in your life? Are you seeking to be in His presence daily? Are you seeking to be in your presence daily? See, when we trust in ourselves, when we have faith in ourselves, we're opening ourselves to Satan's cunning deceptions. And when we open ourselves up to His cunning deceptions, What happens? What happened with the disciples in the boat? Spirit of fear creeps in. Instead of having love, power, and sound mind, power, love, and sound mind, spirit of fear, the spirit of fear blinds us. And they were blind. When we trust in ourselves, what happens? We start becoming discouraged. We start losing hope. And both of those, losing hope and discouraged, what the key ingredients to that is, the lack of peace. I guarantee you, if you're operating the peace that God gives you, you will not be discouraged. You will not be without hope. So we're in His presence. The Holy Spirit is moving in us as we're going through challenges in our life. We're not stepping in those challenges in our own strength. We're stepping in those challenges in His strength. We're seeking to be in His presence daily. It is a lifestyle, my friend. It's not just a, oh, I'm in trouble, I need to call on God right now. Yeah, I know I haven't been reading my Bible lately, and yeah, I know I haven't been praying lately, but man, now I'm hit with this, and a lot of times we want to treat God like a 911 call. I got to call 911 for some help. Because it's not going the way I'm in trouble. We treat God like a 911 call. When He should not be a 911 call. He should be a call in our life. A lifestyle of daily seeking Him. And when we're seeking His presence, we understand every day is a gift from Him, and that there are people around that needs to hear the gospel. Right? There's people that need to hear the good news. We may look where we're at and say, well, God, I really didn't really want to be in this location I'm at right now, where I'm staying physically, and you may relate. And I promise you, when God wants to move you to the next location, that will happen. But while you're there, you be that light to them that are around you. Yes, they may be classified as these wicked people that want to do you in. They have, as David was facing here, they talking about this imagery of the bird going to the mountain. As I could just see this little bird trying to fly to this mountain, and arrows are just passing that bird, right? Flying about from these wicked people that want to slay that bird. They want to slay us. The arrows don't hit that bird, as that bird, his or her eyes is focused on that mountain. They're focused on God. They're seeking His presence, and these arrows are just flying back and forth. I promise you, if that bird would go the opposite direction and go into the direction of the arrows, that bird would be wounded. Don't be a wounded bird. We don't have to be wounded birds, my friend. A lot of times we allow Satan to wrap chains around our life. We allow Satan to put us in bondage. Spirit of fear is one of those very common bondages that I've seen, especially when COVID rolled around. You could really see that spirit of fear. It was rampant. People were closing their churches down. So many churches closed their churches down because of the spirit of fear. And you know, I came under fire of this, and I'll stay under fire to the very end. I was like, don't close your churches down. I don't care what the government says, don't close your churches down. If you're sick, stay home. Just like with the flu, stay home. Get better and come back to church. Do not close your door. If you're fine, you ain't running a temperature, come to church. And just that statement, people got mad. Why? Because the spirit of fear is powerful. It blinds us. It doesn't allow us to operate as children of God in power, love, and the Holy in sound mind. And that's what God wants us to do. That He wants us to operate in love, power, and sound mind. He wants us to seek His presence every day. And I pray that you are seeking His presence every day, that you are seeking His word through studying, to memorization. And I pray that your prayer life is on fire, and that you pray constantly every day, and that you have a group of brothers and sisters that you have daily interaction with, or weekly, where you can link shields and swords with. Because there's power in numbers, there's power in linking shields and swords. And that should mean fellowship, right? Fellowship, being with your brothers and sisters. I pray that you have that fellowship. I pray that you are that bird that flees to that mountain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just get into your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, through this message, God, it reaches whoever it needs to. Maybe there's somebody that's going through things in their life right now, and it's very challenging. They don't know how they're going to make through it through the next day. And I pray this message makes it to them. And if they don't know who you are, God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that through this message, and you don't have to use this message, you can use somebody coming knocking on their door. They could be shopping somewhere or at the gas station, and somebody just is, that's truly a child of God, just walks up to them and tells them the good news. Telling God understands the pain in this life. And that pain and suffering is only temporary compared to eternity that one day we will experience. As children of God, the eternity that we will experience is everlasting beauty, joy, and peace. No more pain, no more suffering. And but those that do not know you or that reject you, it's the opposite. It's a ton of more pain and suffering that any person is experiencing in this life. Is way beyond. I always say, as a child of God, this is close as a hell as we're going to get. And those that don't know you or reject you, this is close as heaven they're going to get. And I'll tell you, this place don't feel like heaven. It feels like hell. And this is as close as hell as we're going to get. So that them people going through the things, they're thinking that's the worst that they will ever experience. We have to be honest with them and say no. Hell will be the worst you will ever experience. and tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about how God sent His only begotten Son. Tell them how He had walked this earth and how He had died for our sins. Tell them how He was buried and resurrected from the grave and how the Holy Spirit comes in your life and changes us to be more like Him every day. God, give us strength to go out there and to witness to others. God, give us strength even within our life. Maybe we're going through something that's challenging. Maybe we are feeling that hopelessness and desperation, and this message opens our eyes that we have took that bait from Satan, hook, line, and sinker, and we realize that we've given him too much power over our life, and we say, no more, no more. I'm taking over my life because I am a child of God. I have the Holy Spirit pouring through me. He's given me power, love, and sound mind, and I rebuke you, Satan. You get out of my life. This desperation, this depression, this anxiety, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we may have to do that throughout the day or whenever, but we take hold of the hope that's within us, and He will give us strength to endure. I promise you. Lord, thank you once again, Lord. Thank you once again for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the beautiful sacrifice that saved a wretched sinner like me. Thank you for the rescue. Oh, how I cannot wait to see you and those that I have lost that have went on to see you. Oh, what a sweet reunion that will be. I know there's brothers and sisters that I've never physically met, and one day I'll physically be able to meet them when we're in heaven. Oh, how beautiful that will be. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. I love you guys. Once again, you can reach out through this website. Email me. Just put Crucified for Christ Ministry, just in case it goes to spam. Also, you can private message me through Facebook. If you're not part of my Facebook group, please put Crucified for Christ Ministry and send me a private message. I will probably ask you a few questions before I add you on to my page. Also, you can reach out if you don't want to do that. Yeah, I got Twitter, Instagram. And of course, you guys that have my personal phone number, you can just text me or call me. Love you guys. Hope you guys have a good rest of your weekend. If you're listening to this on the weekend time or a week, or if you're listening to this week, I hope your week is going good. Love y'all. Bye.